I would love to know how you guys teamed up. Like, where was y'all's connection? Was it Dusk Till Dawn? Was it the TV show?
It was. I was down in Austin, you know, at Robert's studio doing Dusk Till Dawn, a TV show. And Alvaro wrote my first episode. And so we were, you know, spending a lot of time trying to work that out. And we got to know each other and started talking about projects. And I just thought, you know, I had this book and I was excited about the book. And I had tried a couple times to sort of crack it as a script, not really successfully, and just asked if he'd be interested, and he read the book and said, oh, I know how to do this. So that was, the short answer is yes, it was through Dusk Till Dawn.
Wow, very cool. Well, how did you come across the book? I mean, I know, like you just said, you've had it for a while. How did you come across it?
Well, my stepson is an actor, and he at one time was younger, and they had approached him to play the part of Donnie when the movie tried to come together a different way. And the movie never came together, but and he got older. He sort of outgrew Donnie, but his name was Jason Richter. And so he always thought it was a terrific story, and he brought it to my attention, you know, hey, you know, look at this. So I read it, and then once I read the book, I became pretty much obsessed with it.
Was it nice, though, to get your son into the movie in the end, though?
Yeah, he plays Officer Ketchum. He's the cop who works with Bruce Davison. So that's my stepson Jason is now, he's not Donnie, he's now old enough to play the cop.
Well, I'd love to know, was Robert the first on board, or who became kind of the first to step up when you guys...
He was first in, and I've worked with Robert three times. Once when he was Agent Doggett on The X-Files, then I worked him on Dusk Till Dawn, and then I worked with him again on a TV show called Scorpion. So I knew him very well, and... I was doing some work with him, actually, on Dusk Till Dawn, where he was also a father, and he was doing some things that made me feel like he was Gary. And then I reached out to him. And once Robert said, yes, I understand this character, I'd like to do it, then we were sort of, we built the cast around Robert.
How did you find Chris Browning? Because I was really impressed with his portrayal as Randy.
Isn't that crazy? Well, we got Bruce Davison and Heather Graham, and then because I've been a fan of Bruce's since way back in USC days, but we didn't have Randy, and we didn't know what to do. So I didn't know anybody in my little repertoire of actors that was right for it. So we had a reading. And he came in to read, and he says, you know, he doesn't really look like Randy Greenwald, because Randy Greenwald in True Crime, he was a little bit heavier. But his presence in the room was so incredible that he literally got the part based on an audition.
Wow, that's crazy. He was incredible in it.
Well, it's like wild, right? He's so real. He's so quiet but intense, but you don't know what he's going to do.
I've got to ask, since the two brothers are still in jail, did you approach meeting them in jail, or was there any connection to the family?
Well, we asked around about it, and there had been several documentaries and recreations that have been done over the years. I think History Channel did one, and the boys had been approached multiple times over the years for interviews, and had all, you know, and understandably they don't want to talk about it. So we knew sort of from talking to people that they weren't really into it.
So I've got to ask, the film you shoot daytime, nighttime, I mean, you guys kind of all over the place. Can you talk about working with your DP on capturing the look of the film?
Well, we immediately thought, okay, it's the Southwest, So we want to shoot with anamorphic lenses, which means that you need, at night, you need a little more light because the stops are slower. But you get that 2-3-5 aspect ratio, and that, you know, it's that horizontal frame, which for the desert is that's the right way to go. It's not right for everything. So we decided to shoot on anamorphic lenses, and we really had to shoot the whole movie with one camera. That was what was really different about this, because in studio movies and TV shows now, everything is, you know, at least two, usually three cameras. And so you have to really put all of your energy into the shot that you're doing and make the composition work just right. And then we try to control what's in front of the camera, the wardrobe, all the art department, make everything, you know, with the production designer, make everything kind of dusty and brown. And then at the end of the process, Raphael, our DP, worked with the lab, and they put this slight tobacco stain on the film that gives it that I don't know, that almost vintagey feeling.
Wow. You shot this on one camera?
Yeah, the only day we had two cameras was when we had the car go through the roadblock, because we didn't have any time, and I didn't want to miss it. We ordered a second camera for that day, but we just did that with a single camera.
That's impressive. Wow, I totally thought this was a multi-camera shoot. Wow.
No, it's funny. I mean, all my early movies like Halloween 4 and things like that, I just, you know, we only had one camera. We never had two cameras. So it wasn't, you know, it's like, you know, I knew it could be done. You just have to only shoot what you need. You have to be very careful.
So was this kind of nostalgic? I mean, you had Bruce involved and the ties of USC, but, you know, going back and shooting it like that, I mean, that must have been just fun.
It's such a relief, to tell you the truth, because you've got one hand tied behind your back in one sense. You don't have steadicams and cranes and camera cars and multiple cameras, and, you know, you don't have all the things that I'm used to with, you know, network television and all that. But what you do have is just this complete sort of creative freedom. So if you decide to do something, you know, you don't have to clear it with anybody. You don't have to double check. You're just free. And I found it, I don't know, you know, the less money you have sometimes, it's like the more freedom you have. It's kind of a bizarre corollary.
What was it like having Robert, he came on as a producer? I mean, he really embraced this project.
Yeah, I feel like Robert knew when he read this, this was something that he could do, and he could do well, and that it would be an opportunity. And where he really helped as a producer is getting on the phone and talking to other actors and saying, look, I'm really committed to this. I'm behind this. I want you to come join it. And, you know, when you're an actor and you hear from Robert Patrick, everybody in Hollywood respects him as an actor. And so when you get somebody who's that gung-ho, it does create a good energy.
So I've definitely got to ask about the cars and vehicles that you had to get. What was the process like getting those vehicles, the van, the truck, the Continental, all those different types of cars they went through?
It's really hard. Now, we do have resources in L.A. I mean, there are picture car companies where you can get a start, but getting them to run is just really difficult. We had that Lincoln, we couldn't get it to leave the garage. We couldn't get it to pull up the night they... I'll tell you, the Maverick ran real well. We were happy with the Maverick and the pickup truck, but that Lincoln, it just was a nightmare for us. And we had to have a mechanic standing there all the time, just trying to get it to do the simplest things. It's hard because sometimes these things, they look fine, but they've not been maintained. And it'd be hard to do this out of L. We do have picture car companies because of all the production here. So keeping them running is really a challenge.
So, I mean, Heather's so almost unrecognizable. What was it like to have her tackle this particular character in Dorothy? And I mean, she seemed to obviously go full-fledged with the look of the character.
Yeah, I mean, she studied the real Dorothy really carefully, the glasses and the hair and the way that she dressed. But what Heather really did is she dug in real deep. I mean, she had hours of phone calls with the author of the book, James Clark. She talked about, you know, all the details of Dorothy's childhood, how she'd been raised, how she met Gary. She really did her homework. And is she's very, very detail-oriented. So by the time, you know, you do a shot with Heather, she's been at, you know, she's been working it. She comes to the set with a lot of preparation.
Gotti, we have time for one more question. I'm so sorry. We're running a little behind schedule, so I'm just playing catch up right now.
No worries. Well, I would love to end things, Dwight. Do you feel now the itch to do more movies, or are you gearing to get back into TV? Where's your trajectory?
I'm trying, as you can see, to do independent movies. I think that's where I would like to spend, you know, the balance of my career, what's left. Because, I mean, television has been very good to me and you know, for many, many reasons. But I want to do more independent movies. That's my hope.
Well, Dwight, I really love the film. I mean, obviously, Robert brought it. Thank you so much for the time. And Karen, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
Bye.